so today we are here with Essie to talk about building a more durable athlete. The main goal of this discussion is to have an athlete understand how important it is to find a coach who's going to teach them a well-rounded strength and conditioning program versus the difference in a coach who is designed to teach them their sport-specific drills. So, you have recently come out of, I mean, recent-ish, I said it's been a couple years now, out of playing at a high school level. What sports did you play in high school?
Football, basketball, baseball, and then I tried wrestling, I tried track for a little bit, so a little bit of everything.
Okay. Yeah. And then which one did you spend the most amount of energy on?
Football,
okay. Yeah. And when you were doing training for football, or take a step back, when you looked at a season, a year, mm-hmm. how much of your time was spent on football? Like, 2 months, 5 months, 6 months?
Yeah.
Rough grade. You can start it like, hey, we started on this date roughly, and then I went until this date.
So actual football kind of starts like in late March, and it's like spring ball for a month, and then, so that's 1 month out of the year, plus the actual season, which is like 4 months total. So everything in between, that's kind of just whatever.
Okay. And then during that time, what was something that your coaches were hyper-focused on during those, let's say early season, like during March and stuff like that?
Like lifting-wise?
Well, I don't know, in general. What was their goal anytime you...
So that was the issue.
The program.
Yeah, that was the issue, was that there was never any real like defined goal.
Okay.
It was always kind of just, you need to be faster, you need to be stronger, but it was too broad. It was never, you know, explosiveness. It was never like certain aspects to lead to strength and all that. It was just super broad.
And that is kind of the nuance of the problem is, you know, the football coach, ideally, their job is to coach football,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Their job isn't necessarily to make you a stronger, more powerful, more explosive athlete. Mm-hmm. They need you to just do it on your own, mm-hmm. right? They might have a previous experience with whatever they've had, like, hey, this worked for me kind of deal.
Yeah.
But if they're hired as the football coach, I want their expectation to be, hey, I'm going to teach you how to hit somebody properly, how to tackle, how to intercept, how to run a play, right? If I can focus just on teaching you how to do, or coaching you how to do football only,
mm-hmm.
and I can let someone else handle the strength and conditioning, making you more powerful, stronger, faster,
mm-hmm.
then I have a better athlete who's better primed, and I can focus my specific needs into you at the time that they're needed.
Exactly.
So with the when you were kind of going through that process, what were... The general layout of like a 2-hour session, a 3-hour session, whatever they happen to be.
Yeah, they were usually like these circuits that were timed, but no one really watched you. So it was kind of just like, hey, here's 2 stacks on a box jump, 225 on a squat, and then dumbbells for dumbbell push-up rows. And it's like, just do that. You know, it's just like cool timer. No one's really going around saying, you know, fix your back, fix your posture. You know, it's never even any cues. It's like, stop resting, or stop slacking. It was never, you know, hey, you're hinging on your squat, or you're, you know, on your toes on your squat. It was never any cue. It was always just like, oh, you know, hey, we're moving. Just move.
Hey, we're missing depth, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with just having you move. Like, you can actually get benefit out of it. However, we want to set up a more structured approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
One that's going to lead to longer term results.
Mm-hmm.
How many injuries did you sustain in football?
So, as far as the sport itself, I broke my leg once, compound fractured my fibula, and 2 concussions, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a lot. And you know, I played soccer. I also put basketball on, I played golf.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I did it, there was no emphasis on any sort of strength and conditioning. It was really just, hey, we're just doing conditioning only.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much benefit from me as an athlete being able to do strength training for any of those sports.
Mm-hmm.
The focus was on plyometrics for basketball. Like, hey, we just want to jump and be springy.
Mm-hmm.
For soccer, it's all about, hey, can you run for 40 minutes? Yeah, which is cool. Like, yeah, it makes sense. And then for, you know, for golf, it's more of like, hey, can you carry this bag for 9-18 holes, depending on what we're playing?
Mm-hmm.
And then can you continuously hit the ball, and can you mentally collect yourself and calm yourself down if you hit errant stuff?
It's yeah.
very much stuff that is trainable,
mm-hmm.
if with an appropriate sport and conditioning or strength and conditioning program.
Mm-hmm.
However, the coach is then there to tell you, hey, here's what I need you to focus on with your swing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, here's what I need you to focus on with your kick. Or, here's what I need you to focus on with how you tackle somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Then, are we able to let the coach do a better job of building a better team?
Yeah.
And letting someone who is more focused on the, hey, we need to build up your strength, your power, your flexibility, the 10 general skills,
mm-hmm.
of a well-balanced athlete would be cardiovascular endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, speed. From there, we're going accuracy, balance, agility, and then the last one would be agility. I'm trying to remember what, mm-hmm. one I did say.
Yeah.
So four of those are going to be trained through physical limitations: cardiovascular endurance, stamina, strength, and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to physically focus on
yes.
those. The other four are going to be focused on mental space. Like, we got the balance, coordination, agility, accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like mental iterations that we
mm-hmm.
need to focus on. And then power and speed are a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can develop an athlete who is well-rounded in all those categories, then we're going to have a more durable athlete who is going to have less injuries in the long term. It's going to be able to hyper-focus on what they need to do instead of being in a broad kind of spectrum.
Yeah.
With your injuries, the leg injury, were you doing any lifting prior to that?
So, no, not seriously.
Okay.
Not like serious. Like, you know, I did, you know, what I told you.
Yeah.
Going through the circuit. So after that injury is when I actually started taking lifting seriously. So I quit baseball and found lifting. I developed my passion for lifting through that injury.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, you had a pretty big injury,
mm-hmm.
right? And you still came out stronger on the other end.
Yeah.
There's also a common myth that the lifting will stunt growth and everything like that. That one has been thoroughly
yeah.
debunked at this point.
Yeah.
If you're still on the fence about it, it's no longer a thought. We're not talking about it anymore. It's more of, hey, how much can we push people, respective of their individual tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very difficult for a coach, if you call it a general, like a team coach, football
mm-hmm.
coach, soccer coach, whatever they happen to be, to work with 20, 30 individuals and not only know what they are, what their abilities are,
mm-hmm.
but also know how hard to push their physical and mental limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just because they are two different spectrums.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to kind of bridge the gap between the two. We want to make it so there's more cohesion with
mm-hmm.
that. We want to build an athlete who is focused when they're here on, hey, this is what I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're trained professionals who focus on just this.
Yeah.
I don't care how you tackle somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to work with you on an agility ladder
yeah.
to increase your foot speed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That might be a warm-up for a good place for like a soccer or a practice drill. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to increase your ability to lift some heavy weight, move some people around,
mm-hmm.
increase your flexibility so that if you do get hit, knocked over, roll an ankle, you're going to bounce back quicker, right? And then if we can teach you to also build an ability to push yourself when you're at the last end of the game,
yeah.
or hey, I've got something to do, whatever it happens to you, whatever sport you're playing in,
mm-hmm.
I need to be able to take that dial and turn it up to 11 when it's needed. So
mm-hmm.
we can control when that happens, then we're gonna create a athlete who is just going to be so much further ahead of their perspective, or not necessarily perspective, but other counterparts
mm-hmm.
that are around, you know, whether it's the other team or even their individual team,
mm-hmm.
they're going to help lift up their teammates. They're going to help be kind of supportive in the sense of, hey, I can take on more work if need be, or hey, I can encourage you to mentally get through something because I've already experienced something that's more difficult and more challenging, right?
Yep.
We want to create a training regiment that is more difficult than an actual working environment,
yep.
which is very tough to do. And a lot of coaches think this means that we need to thrash the athletes into the ground.
Yep.
How many times have you done like 2-a-days where you're just like getting absolutely demolished?
Oh, overtraining was a common thing that would happen in high school because I would do my workout individually where I'm like, okay, this is the stuff that I know actually works. Then I go, it's mandatory, so I have to attend, you know, my high school lift. So then we have another conditioning session later. It's like I'm overtraining at that
yeah.
point.
So when you did your and that's because you didn't have anybody not necessarily tell you that you were overtraining. However, you could get away with that because you were younger
mm-hmm.
if the mandatory training was appropriate,
mm-hmm.
right? It was something that was in a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the... I mean, what that controlled environment is going to look like is going to vary so much for each different team, sport.
Mm-hmm.
But my point would be that they should emphasize their work with a specific goal. Like, you should always know why you're working on a particular thing.
Incentivized.
If we're not just doing, you know, a half squat at, you know, 225, like, why are we doing this? Because if we don't know why, then why can we convince people that it's a good idea? So, first of all, I'd rather you squat all the way down if possible,
mm-hmm.
and that would be significantly better because we're increasing range of motion and increasing that flexibility, like I talked about, way more stability. And we can just reduce the load too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find everyone's appropriate level. Now, when you did the that overtraining scenario,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like the... Because I would assume then you would practice last.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, it varies. Usually we'd lift in... So during the season, it was no morning stuff, but we'd lift in football PE
mm-hmm.
and then practice, and we have conditioning at the end of practice.
Okay.
So
and like a post-practice conditioning is not a bad thing, right?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's something that's a... Well, as long as it's appropriate. It's got to be very fine-tuned. And
yeah.
if coaches are interested in like sitting down with us and... coming up with a program for post-workout, I'd gladly talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fine. Like, let's sit down, let's make sure you're not killing your athletes, because
yeah.
I have a lot more experience than you do at teaching people how to push themselves,
mm-hmm.
because that's my job. And I want you to focus on, like, hey, we're going to do, you know, these drills that are appropriate for teaching my athletes what they need to
yeah.
do, right, on the sport field. So we're trying to create that divide of, hey, this is what we're focusing here, this is what we're focusing here. If we do that, we'll avoid things like overtraining, because now the person planning it, providing the programming, or doing the strength and conditioning understands the whole spectrum of everything,
right? Right.
We know how hard they went in practice, so then we know what a finisher should look like.
Mm-hmm.
The other side would be, how much energy do you think you had when you were practicing?
It varies, like, from days in the week. Honestly, you might see me on a Monday, I'm explosive. Tuesday, I'm still, you know, then you kind of see as the week goes on.
Yeah.
Slowly
and
deteriorating.
What's unique about football is it's always at the end of the week, too,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, one could argue, because I'm sure you felt the best on Monday,
mm-hmm.
Friday nights for mostly football games.
Mm-hmm.
One could argue that you'd be better off at better peak fitness
mm-hmm.
on a Monday than you were on a Friday going into practice.
Totally agree. Totally 100%, agree.
Right?
Totally agree.
So what if we convinced the football program to, instead of, you know, going hard or, you know, going hard over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, after the game, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then we take Wednesday, Thursday off, and it's like, cool, we're fresh.
Yeah.
Right? You change the weekend from Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's
yeah.
just light drill practice.
Yeah.
And in that scenario, we need an outside person to like do strength and conditioning,
mm-hmm.
and then hey, we'll practice. If I told you that, how much energy do you think you would have kind of for practice and or especially for like a game day?
A little bit of blessing.
Like day and night,
yeah,
difference, right?
Day and night difference,
and
yeah.
I think a lot of times coaches have difficulty deciding about whether to implement punishment for things that aren't being done correctly,
yeah.
which I don't necessarily disagree with,
mm-hmm.
just has to be appropriate for it, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to teach lessons, and it becomes difficult to kind of find that line a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another reason why I would love to separate the two thoughts. There's no reason running has to be punishment unless you keep dropping the ball every single day. Like,
yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things I can make you do that would be significantly more beneficial than just running.
Yeah.
Right? And if instead I don't have to work on increasing this person's endurance, you know, then I can focus on, hey, how can I help this person hold onto the ball more?
Exactly.
Right? So it's more of, I want to take less thought away
mm-hmm.
from the conditioning aspect of most coaches and put it more on the athletes to go out and just get it done and feel comfortable getting
mm-hmm.
it done.
And it's weird because as an athlete, like when you're like coach like that, it's like failure is never used as a lesson for them. It's always used as a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in like with lifting and like complex things like that, failure needs to be a lesson. Every time failure needs to just be, you know, you're taking something from that, you know, I failed that power clean or I dropped that ball because, you know, this, and this.
Right.
Let's go do a drill doing this. Don't make them run a lap.
Right.
Make
it's like, hey,
better.
Cool. Let's
yeah.
let's line everybody up and everybody take a punch at the freaking ball. And
yeah.
Like, now you're going to learn how to hold on to it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Every time, you know, every time it gets knocked out, you got to go back to the restart and do it again.
Yeah.
There's a putting drill that, I don't know if Phil Mickelson came up with it, but he was told about it. He basically took 5 or 6 balls, put them in a circle 1 foot away from the hole.
Mm-hmm.
He would then make all the putts. From there, he would move it out to 2 feet, make all the putts. Then
mm-hmm.
he would move it out to 3 feet. If he missed, he had to reset and go back from the start. So he's literally just building muscle memory from a small circle instead of trying to just force it on. He's not just trying to make 20 footers all day,
yeah.
right? Which is essentially what's happening with a lost fumble
yeah.
sometimes. And that's okay, right? So we want to give the coach the ability to kind of take it down a little bit by just having to worry. Like, okay, he doesn't have to run because he's got plenty of running to go.
Mm-hmm.
What other drills can we come up with? How creative can we be to just build better athletes, better teams, and support each other in a mental perspective? What, after your injury, what was your recovery time like with the leg? The concussion was a little separate.
Yeah. So I was able to walk and stuff without a boot after like 6 weeks.
Okay.
But as far as me feeling like myself again, probably 1.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what. So let me ask you this. When did you start lifting with that leg again?
Like seriously? So 6 weeks went. I went to physical therapy. I think like that summer. So once that summer started, I started doing plyometrics and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Not really lifting, but it was plyos.
Yeah.
So I built a super strong foundation. I didn't even know what plyos were.
Mm-hmm.
I just went to this class. This dude taught me plyos. We did jumping classes, push-up classes, medicine ball classes, just straight plyos. As soon as next time I got under a bar, I was stronger than I ever was.
Yeah,
and I was like, I like this.
That was appropriate because your leg has essentially not been used at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just doing all body weight stuff to retrain it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like, all right, let's go get under a bar again. Like, wow, I have more stability and strength from not necessarily just doing one-legged stuff, but just body weight exercises
mm-hmm.
than I had from before. And anyway, what's really cool about that is like there was somebody to teach you how to do it.
Yep.
Whether it was 100% perfect or not
mm-hmm.
is a little bit different story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You know, you don't even necessarily know whether it was 100%
mm-hmm.
perfect. It could have been.
Mm-hmm.
The key is that it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done with a purpose.
Yes. That's what it was.
Explosiveness. And I think a lot of times people get concerned that like, oh, hey, you know, you had a little bit of rounding on your back on a deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Was that, what was the cause? Are you tired? Is it the last rep you're doing? Is it the first rep you're doing? Do we have too much weight on the bar?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Have you, what is going on around that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect most coaches to have the time or thought to be able to think about that. And I don't want them to. I want them to focus on like, hey, come up with a game plan.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. You know, whatever drills you need to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
The athletes then need to be able to find someone who can confidently teach them, hey, this is what we need to appropriately do, and here's how we're gonna do it. So I think in the grand scheme, like being able to interact more with the athletes and have the coaches on the side of, hey, you should reach out and find a coach who's going to teach you how to lift appropriately, right? That is going to make a big like progress for everyone, mm-hmm. right? Teams are going to be better. Coaches are going to be better. And we're not here to make people worse.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally trying to make people better. And the way to do that is to kind of compartmentalize stuff so that it is a focus instead of a broad kind of stroke there.
Yeah.
With the things you've learned, like lifting here,
mm-hmm.
how much have you noticed a kind of a decrease in strength? Like, I mean, so, and I'm not talking about, your maxes might be lower because you're not training specifically.
Yeah.
How much have you noticed an actual decrease in strength?
None. Not a real, you know, you think about, like you said, the maxes, and I'll go to you and tell you, hey, I used to be able to get this. You're like, yeah, but you're not even focusing on this, and you're still getting under and getting, you know, 95% of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're still maintaining that, and then also, you know, being able to do a handstand and, like, run a 400 meter, you know? I can't run a 400 meter after my old max in high school. I wouldn't be able to. I'd been huffing and puffing, you know?
Yeah.
But I could do 95% of that, run a 400 meter and be like, all right, what's next, you know?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long ways because your ability to recover
mm-hmm.
is changed
mm-hmm.
and we're not crushing you with weights, right? And I don't think it's, you can, there's definitely athletes who need to like, hey, no, I need to bulk up. I need to lift some weight, which
mm-hmm.
is great. But however, we need to know some things about those athletes first,
yeah.
right? What are their really limitations? And having those conversations with them is really important. But the coach doesn't have time for that.
No.
It's very like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And ideally, we want to be able to teach things correctly. The most coaches, they very rarely, you know, have a kind of a background in any sort of certification with like lifting
mm-hmm.
or coaching any sort of workout programs, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably prefer that they don't if their focus is on being, you know, the football coach or the golf coach, whatever it happens
mm-hmm.
to be. I'd rather them find someone like, hey, this is a good coach. He's going to take care of you. He's going to teach you how to squat properly, how to do cleans, and then we're going to get together and hey, this is what we're going to work on today. But the athlete already knows how it's done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have that foundation, they're able to kind of go out and push themselves a little bit more. I think a big thing about what we teach is learning what your threshold happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you started, how much did the workouts thrash you?
Oh, probably midway through every workout.
Every day, right? You're just like every single workout, you're like you're just going gung-ho 100% of the time. And then you learn, like, hold on, I don't need to go gung-ho 100% of the time. I can pace myself a little bit.
Yeah.
I can go at 80%. And then once you learn that your 80% was really good, you're like, hey, I can go 85%.
Mm-hmm.
And then your 85% actually is higher than it would be if you were doing it the other way because you've actually increased your fitness,
mm-hmm.
right? So now you're learning, hey, I can go at 90%. Or maybe your 100% speed is it is higher than your previous 100% speed.
Yeah, it might be.
And the difference is, though, that you now know how to control the throttle
yep.
up and down. You're like, this, what I'm doing right now requires me to go at this speed. Like,
mm-hmm.
if we told you to go out and sprint, you're going to go 100%.
Mm-hmm.
If we told you to go out, like, hey, I need you to go pace yourself with a run, then you're going to go out and pace yourself with a run.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to try and kill it every single time.
Yep.
And I think that learning that knob control goes a long ways for each athlete. I mean, if I took you and put you on a football field right now, how comfortable do you think you would feel just turning the jets on or hitting some? So I think a big thing too with football's changed is how you hit people.
Yeah.
Right, how you tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone through a lot of rule changes over the years.
Yeah.
And think if you could get less flags just by being smarter and kind of more focused, like, hey, I only need to go 80% for this. I don't need to go 100% for this.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, the only soreness I probably get is from the actual battery because I'm just not used to it. But, like, as far as conditioning, I feel like I could go on a football field and be comfortable.
Yeah.
Basketball court, comfortable. I feel prepared for anything. Like, I just feel super, like, I got a toolbox and I'm ready to use every tool almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel that good about it.
Yeah. And that's where we want each athlete to feel. Like, mm-hmm. hey, you should feel so durable, mm-hmm. so prepared that you don't care what happens, you're just going to adapt to it.
Yep.
Like, we're essentially trying to take an athlete and make them more athletic
mm-hmm.
by making them more well-rounded. Like you said, like, you have a toolbox. Like, how can I use this? Tools.
Mm-hmm.
How can I implement this? And it's different than when you look back. And I know you have, what are you, 2 years, 3 years out of high school?
Four years.
Yeah. So it would have been just four now,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So four, the difference is you feel... It's not necessarily a ton of extra maturity. It's just like, no, I feel like I have more control of my body.
Yeah.
If I can control more of my body, then I have more control of where I utilize my mm-hmm. energy. So, you know, what would you say is something that you wish you had practiced prior to football? Like, if there's one thing you could, like, really dial in think about things we've worked on here.
Yeah.
If there's one thing prior to doing football that you could have, like, really worked on, that you would have allowed you to dial that.
Yeah.
What would it be?
It probably would have been the pacing, like you said. You know, it's super easy to go out there first quarter on any sport, first half, you know, whatever, and go out there and, you know, do great, you know, full speed, gung-ho, like you said. But, like, just that huffing and puffing, just... it's going to come. And just having that pacing now, like you said, my movements are so fine, like, later on in workouts. Back then it was like 8 minutes, I'm gassed. Now I'm on like minute 16, and my 85 on minute 16 is better than my 100 on minute 8 a couple months ago. You know, just having that sense of pacing and, like, I don't even know how to exactly.
Like, just ability to relax.
Yeah, just that ability to kind of just sit back and go, it's going to be all right. Like, we're, you know, I'm still moving, like,
yeah.
I'm still good. And just having that, you know, because I was always strong. I've always had, like, a natural strength and natural first step. I've always had those abilities, but, like, just being able to kind of know when to use it, when not to use it, when I could go 80% on it, when I could go 90, when I do need to turn that knob to 11, I wish I had that sense of it. And it's just kind of, I don't know if it's a sense, but it's like that, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that, how many drills did you do that were first step drills?
And, you know, you have your normal get 3-point stance and pop, but...
Yeah. So, do you think you could have benefited more from being quicker with more first stance drills?
Yeah.
Yes?
No, like, no, not like that.
Okay.
Not like that, at least.
Do you, do you think that, okay, what would have benefited you?
So it kind of goes back to the incentivize.
Yeah.
Like, what's the why, you know? They're telling you to get in a 3-point stance and first step, but it's like, you know, I'm just not getting that why.
So what if, would it be, yeah, like, hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's how I need you to stop it or deflect it, whatever happens.
Yes,
to, you know,
yes,
get around it.
Yes.
You know, whether you're on offense or defense, like,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be a very specific, like, hey, here's what's going to happen and here's what I need you to do. And then, like, you're just kind of, then we're building kind of technique
mm-hmm.
for specific events that are going to happen on the football field.
Exactly.
Right? You know, in the event that they're running the ball, you always need to step left or right, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or hey, I need you focusing on what the quarterback is doing as opposed to what the, you know, linemen are doing.
Yep.
Each player is going to give a different person to pay attention to, right?
Exactly.
So, especially someone like a safety. You're like,
mm-hmm.
probably going to teach them mostly, like, hey, I want you watching the eyes,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas a cornerback is going to be probably focused on, hey, just follow your man.
Yeah.
Dude, don't let them catch the ball. Like,
yeah.
put your hands up if they look at the sky.
Yeah.
And if I could just tell everyone that, and they're like, hey, okay, this is all you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to build a better team because then I don't need to have everyone do the exact same drill,
mm-hmm.
per se, and people aren't getting left out.
Mm-hmm.
I can spend more time running plays that are going to be beneficial to them, just learning like, hey, these are routes that are going to happen. Here's how we break them. Here's how we protect against them.
Yep.
Whatever it happens to be. Then kind of with that in mind, do you think that the average athlete who's playing at these high school sports would benefit more from more plays or more conditioning?
More repetition.
So, yeah, which is, yeah, I was going to even rephrase it a little bit.
Yeah.
But when dealing with that very sport-specific thing, like if you're with the coach and like, hey, we're doing football, are they going to benefit more from conditioning or are they going to benefit more from running plays?
I think running plays,
yeah.
Like the reps, yeah.
And that would be the thought. Like, if I'm going to coach it, like I need them doing reps on this. Right? And then if I have a separate hour for strength and conditioning and someone else is running it, and I don't have to think about it, they got all their plans running, boom. Like that, then that is their focus.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that falls right, yeah.
Do you think that the two kind of meshed together too much and there wasn't enough separation?
That, it was more of like lack of, because they're, like you said, they're football coaches. They coach football. They don't have a L1, L2. They don't have a NASM. They don't have any form of certification, you know.
Some of them might, but
some
yeah,
of them
very,
yeah,
yeah, very few.
And that was until my senior year. We could talk about that later. But yeah, it's kind of more, like you said, they're setting up the equipment. They're not really coaching lifting. They're football coaches,
right.
You know. So it's...
And it's fine. Like, good.
It's fine, yeah.
You coach football classes.
Structurally, they were separate, but really they weren't. It was
kind
of just
so
like...
So it felt like one... Yeah, it felt like one thing, like, hey, we have to do this because we have to get bigger.
Okay, and we have a weight room. Might as well use it,
yeah.
You know. We were doing curls. I don't know if a curl ever translates to any. We had
How many have you ever lifted anybody up as your?
Yeah,
as
I'm never. I can.
Your bicep curls aren't big enough to.
There was one time we had to do like a curl on a Bozu ball, and I was like, I can't. Like, and this is senior year me, so I'm pretty educated on lifting at this point, and I get introduced a Bozu ball curl, and I'm like, yeah, I can't.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some. I think if the coach had delivered the reason, you'd be like, hey, here's why we're doing this,
mm-hmm.
and could have correlated it to something, then you would have been much more about it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the biggest disconnect,
mm-hmm.
is the most coaches don't know how to correlate, here's the why.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if, how many times do you remember being yelled at for running the wrong direction and being told, like, here's why I need you to run the right direction?
Never really. You know,
right. And so it's mostly because like the coach is thinking like, hey, I need this athlete to do the thing I need it to do. However, I need to learn how to communicate that. And that's a different issue in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But in the weight room, there needs to be more communication than I would say on the playing field,
mm-hmm.
because of how many unique movements we are doing. And on the playing field, there's a lot less we can control. In the training room, we have 100% control of
mm-hmm.
everything we're doing.
Yep.
So if we're teaching someone to, you know, bicep curl on a Bosu ball, it better translate into something that can be utilized
yeah.
out on the field, right? If I'm teaching someone how to squat 2 inches, it should translate into something that I'm doing out on the football field. However, or soccer field, golf, whatever
yeah.
it happens to be. If we can teach things like full range of motion and increasing, you know, mechanics from any movement, then
mm-hmm.
we're just creating more body awareness for each individual athlete.
Mm-hmm.
If you had an athlete ask you, hey, what is the number one thing I could do? I have 3 months until
mm-hmm.
season starts,
mm-hmm.
whatever it happens to be. What is the number one thing I could focus on in order to improve my ability to go out there and just be a better athlete next season?
It kind of sucks because all like that thing kind of falls within those 10
general
skills. Those 10 general skills. So it'd be, you know, like strength and conditioning, but that's very broad, you know, because
yeah. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't,
we spend an hour a day
mm-hmm.
in our class. And that's, you know, for adults who have moved on from school, mm-hmm. something like that. We, you know, we have the Durable Athlete Program, which is designed currently as a 2-hour class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, we're going to really get a lot of touch points in
there.
And at the end of it, they're going to feel worked, right?
Yeah.
It's designed to feel worked. It's not designed to be easy. It's not designed to come in and be like, hey, buddy, buddy, and you're going to walk out of here, you know. I mean, you should walk out of here feeling better than when you came in.
Yes.
Just because the endorphins should be lit up. However,
yeah.
like, it's going to be a very drastic challenge where you're going to learn to push yourself.
Yeah, so it's not like that super easy, but it's also like, don't come in here and kill yourself. It's like there's like just that perfect medium, you know? Like you said, like that threshold, you know, 2 power cleans, 3 power cleans, 4 power cleans. Okay, cool. Your form's great. Now let's do these 4 power cleans. Instead of doing them in 30 seconds, let's do them in 15 and see where you know, just trying to find that perfect medium.
And I think on that point, the athlete then gains tremendous knowledge. Like, hey, here's what I know I'm capable of.
Exactly.
And then they're not put in positions where they're like, yeah, I'm not actually capable of that. I'm not going to push it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's part of the uniqueness. What we do
mm-hmm.
is it's very much, hey, we can help you find what you're capable of. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
like, if I told you to go out and do a 225 power clean right this second,
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay, I could do it, but why don't I just warm up a couple of times and then dial it in a little bit? I know what it's supposed to feel like. And you're like, hey, cool, let's go hit this 225 power clean.
Yeah.
You're not just going to walk out there and do it unless I held a dagger to your throat and be like, okay, I have to go do it. Right?
Yeah.
But you're going to have some knowledge around it. You're like, hey, I know how to warm up a little bit for this.
Mm-hmm.
I know what weights I should be hitting prior to. Right? Just have a baseline knowledge. And I think that's a tremendous amount of information for especially athletes who are going on to play at a collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is most of those, you know, D1 schools, maybe even a couple of the D2 schools, maybe even a few of the D3 schools have strength and conditioning coaches.
Some high schools, private high schools do. That's why they're better than everyone.
Yeah, and so that coach is there to teach them how to do it correctly. Now, whether the coaches have to teach them how to do it correctly is a different issue.
Yeah.
But when you show up and you're like, hey, this is how I squat 225 and you're going down at a 2-inch depth, man, that coach is going to be livid, that strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
They're like, this is
yeah.
what the fuck you've been learning,
yes.
practicing. So I think it's really important that the coaches like allow their athletes to find something that's going to benefit them and the team in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be, hey, we're going to force everyone to come to this training program. No, it could be a, hey, here are some training programs that exist in town. Go utilize one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, we'll meet here at this time, and this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or it happens to be like that, right? Then it's, hey, these particular things are going to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as the coach, can then focus on this. Plus, you get more of your life back.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more coaches want to have more of their life back.
And then that overlapping also creates a lot of misconception, like you said, that don't lift early because it'll stun your growth. That 2-inch squat that you're talking about, a lot of coaches, even junior college coaches, I won't rat anyone out, but they say that because they say, oh, if you go too deep, you hurt yourself. There's injury if you go too deep. There's injury if you go, you know, your butt winking excessively. There's injury in that, but they don't know that. They just know, oh yeah, you'll get hurt if you go too deep.
And yeah, which is not true. You and I know this, but increasing range of motion increases your flexibility.
It's always better.
Yeah, and if we can have as much range of motion as possible, then we're going to build an athlete who is, hey, I can take a little bit more bend on my knee than normal because I've been practicing squatting lower,
mm-hmm.
right? So and there's a lot of like injuries that happen with any sport. Ideally, I mean, so for me personally, I never had any injuries, knock on wood, playing
mm-hmm.
sports.
Yeah.
But I think most advanced athletes, especially in football, will experience some sort of strain or pull or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which I think are normal.
Mm-hmm.
However, we want to look at big term injuries. Like, do you have to have a knee replacement after high school? That's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, your leg broke, but I don't know if you had any knee issue.
No, I didn't. I had nerve damage in my leg, but that's about it.
And
still not ideal.
Ideally, your leg doesn't break either.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot more injuries happen in youth sports than we used to. And I think a lot of it has to do with overtraining in a bad way. So we need to be able to control that training aspect of it. And I think the other side of it is because fitness is so readily available, we just all think we can kind of teach it on our own, which is not true. It's kind of like if I mean, you can YouTube how to replace a toilet, right? Yeah. And you don't have to hire a plumber to do it.
Yeah.
Great. I can YouTube how to do a squat. However, what I can't YouTube is someone teaching me that I'm in the wrong position or like watching me do it.
Exactly.
So there's a subtle differences of that, right? Being able to replace an object is manageable. Yeah. However, being able to see, hey, are your hips shifting left or right? Hey, are your knees tracking in line with your toes? Is your weight in your heels as you're squatting with it? Whatever it happens to be, the coach is there to make sure this is happening correctly. Like, is that form dialed in? And then from there, we can build a foundation for it. Right? Like I said, you can YouTube how to squat.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't also account for, like, you know, different, you might have a different body type than the guy YouTubing how to squat. There's just so much
uniqueness. Especially like a deadlift is a very unique.
So exactly.
If you have a tall athlete, it's different deadlift than with short athlete.
Yeah, it's just so... You know, someone on YouTube can't teach you that, you know? Like, they're not going to go through all the caveman body types and be like, well, if you're an endomorph, your legs should be spread out. No one's going to teach you that, like, on YouTube, at least.
You can visually see, like, all right, this is what it's supposed to look like. However, you can't actually see if you're doing it the same as they are.
Yeah.
Right? And I think another important part is, like, the coach is able to help you feel where it's supposed to feel appropriate, right?
Yeah.
You might actually start doing something like, hey, I really feel this in this area. I'm like, well, we don't want to do that. We want to focus on filling in this area.
Exactly.
Now we're doing it correctly. Like, oh, like, again, bringing that awareness, like, hey, here's what the purpose is of this exercise. So kind of on a final note, what would you, if you could go back in time, when would you start CrossFit? At what age?
Stopped. So I had no interest in lifting until I was probably 16, but I would have probably started it either at a super young age, like probably 8th grade. I would have honestly said 8th grade. Like Carson, how old was Carson?
He just finished up sophomore year. And he started in 7th grade? 8th grade? I can't remember, one of those two.
Well, but he's already doing
he was also top 200 worldwide teens in the 14 to 15 age range.
Yeah.
So last year, not this year, but last year.
He's able to do all those gymnastics movements right now, like as a sophomore. Like, if I could go back, I wish I could do a muscle up, you know, my freshman year of high school. I wish I was doing muscle up, running, coming back, just like, all right, you know.
The key being, the sooner you start,
the sooner the better.
It's going to progress so much further. And again, our focus is not on teaching you how to tackle somebody better. Like, our focus is like, hey, can you control your athletic dial, and can we increase that potential? And the answer is yes to both. It just takes time. I think a lot of times people rush into it.
Yes. It's not overnight.
Yeah, and I think that's something you've probably learned over time. I'm sure early on you're like, hey, I'm gonna rush into this lifting thing, and then you're like, oh, hold on, it doesn't work like that.
It's okay to take time. I mean, you're more of a vet than I am, but like, I mean, it's still a work in progress. It's always a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing's perfect. I mean, I still have habits from high school where drive your head through the snatch. I'm still, you know, crazy still. I still have some issues, you know.
Which we don't need. It's relax a little bit, dude.
Then it's just always a work in progress. Nothing's overnight. This stuff's, it's an art almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I just recently got good snatch form, you know. I've been snatching since I was 16. Probably not the right way, but I mean, I'm 22 now.
And then, like, how much benefit would have been if someone had taught you kind of from the right?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Like, oh,
yeah,
this is what it's supposed to do. And then how much better does it feel when you're like, oh, this is the position I'm supposed to be?
Exactly. You're using less energy, you know, you're doing the lift right. You're able to get more weight because you're using less energy. It's just too beneficial. I wish I would have had you in my ear at like a 9 a.m. class. After this, I go in the sauna, get out, go home, eat breakfast, and go to football practice. Perfect. Like, I would have came to football practice like, okay, this can't be worse than what I just did, and I'm prepared for this, you know?
And that mindset, I think, is the biggest thing. You're like, all right, hey, my lifting's out of the way. I'm going to go hit some people. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you showed up the next day and be like, hey, dude, my arm's not feeling 100% right now, I'm like, great, we're going to modify the workout. And you're still going to get a freaking great workout.
Yeah,
right?
I'm still going to be just as gassed if I would have been, you know, I'm not doing the prescribed workout. But, I mean, for example, me versus, you know, someone older in our class, yeah, they're scaling the workout, but they're feeling that same wall that I'm feeling, you know? And that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
We want to get you to that wall where you need to turn that dial up to 11, you know? You need to dig deep and really pull that out.
Yeah.
And as a, in a good way, not as torture as like, okay, this is where I need to be when I'm at this point in a game, match, whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. All right, dude, thanks for joining me.
No problem.
Hopefully we can get some athletes who want to increase their durability.
Yep.
And so if you guys have any questions, ST will gladly answer them.
Yep.
For free. Hit him up on Instagram, maybe Facebook if he's back on it.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. So ST Menendez on Instagram and Facebook. You could find me anywhere on there.
Yeah. And he doesn't even have to be here anymore. Depending on what he goes on with his life, like hit him up. He'll answer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always answering. I'm always open to DMs about anything workout related or recovery related. I'm always happy to answer. It's my passion.
All right. Thanks, ST.
All right. Thank you.